Thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Well, everybody got quiet all of a sudden. I get up and it's I want to talk to you guys real briefly this morning. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to preach to myself, and y'all just listen in. And if it hits you, take it. If it don't, say, well, Terry, I'm going to pray for him. I now know how to pray for him. Is that a deal? So this is for me, all right? A little self-indulgent here. And I was... Pastor Terry asked, well, what are you preaching on? And I gave him the title. And I really struggled with using this terminology because I'm, you know, that cartoon, squirrel. You know, I get distracted real easy, you know. And the title of the message is Finding Comfort in the Comforter. And that term comforter, all of a sudden I got to thinking about my wife and the comforter on our bed and how we have 468 pillows on that bed. And this is always my favorite time of the year for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is we actually use the comforter on our bed during this time. She takes all those pillows off and we use this other comforter, and we actually are using that comforter. But until December, we have this other comforter that is nice, it's fitted, it's got all of this stuff. We got the 468 pillows all everywhere, and they're all strategically placed. And I used to try to help put the pillows on, and now I know. I just hand them to her so she knows where, because she places them the right way. And but this time of the year, that one gets put up, and we get to this one, and we get to use it. And I like this comforter because it's not just a show pony. But we get to use it. And sometimes we treat our faith and our relationship with Christ as a show pony. And we don't use it. And this is the time of year that we're celebrating the coming of our Savior. Amen. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. That word joy there is the coming of your salvation. When the angels appeared to the shepherds out there in the field, and they were saying, behold, I bring you great tidings of great news, you know, joy. That word joy is the same word in James that James uses. It says, when diverse trials and tribulations come to do what? He used an accounting term. He says, put it in the column. You know, you got your liabilities and you got your assets and you're trying. It's an accounting term. He says, count that as an asset because it's joy. Count that. Put those trials and tribulations as actually on the balance sheet of this is actually working for me. That's strange, isn't it? That's weird. That's awkward. And when we talk about these things of faith and spiritual matters, you know, we in the church here, we're believers, and so some of this is more accessible to us than others. But I want to, for those who are listening online and those maybe newer to the faith or those who sometimes hear these things and it just, well, let's just say it like it is. It just sounds like a bunch of spiritual puffery. It just sounds philosophical, feel good, you know, that's great. But, you know, when you're talking about finding comfort in the comforter, you know, there's that and then there's this donut here. And I can grab that donut. I can taste that donut. I can see that donut. That donut is comfort food. And then someone says, but you got to find comfort in the comfort. Not these things of life that we keep using to medicate to try to find comfort. Not trying to medicate ourselves in various ways. But to actually find comfort in Him. Well, that just sounds, it can smack as, well, that's just feel good piety. Philosophical stuff. So today, with your, well, y'all are taking off back. I didn't even see that. You're already back there. Okay. Where's my clicker? Y'all know where it's at? So I can stay on track with you? Or do we have it? If not, don't worry about it. Back legs. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Pastor. I didn't mean to miss. Is this it? Those are in-ear monitors. Is that it? No, that's an iPod. Oh. Sorry. Okay, which way do I go? Is that forward and that's backwards, right? Which one's ESPN? Sorry, guys. So let's get over here. It says, our text is 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7, real quick. Let's do this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in his comfort too. Moving along, let's see if I do. Yeah, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Here's the rub with me. How many's ever complained to the Lord? Am I the only one? And I found myself, Pastor, just a couple weeks ago complaining. I know it's strange. You probably would say, Terry, that's just so not like you. Well, you have to just on faith believe this. I was complaining. And I said, Lord, this ain't right. You need to do something. Fix this. And I use words against the Lord. And here's the problem with using words against the Lord. He is the word. So that's not a fight I will ever win. Using word against the word. The Logos. And so I said, Lord, you said that you would send your comforter. That's what you said, Lord. You said you would send your comforter. And right now, Lord, I ain't comfortable. And immediately, he says, I never said I would make you comfortable. I said I would comfort you, that you would be comforted. But I never promised that you would be comfortable. And I was like, I missed that one. Thought I had him. But that for me, it was just like an eye-opening thing for a minute. I was like, you're right. I am not called to be comfortable. I am called to be comforted. Because everybody's definition of comfortable is different. You know, I would find it highly uncomfortable to be drawn by a horse and buggy nowadays and be pulled along an unpaved road, you know, to come to church. I would find that highly uncomfortable because my perspective is I'm riding in a car with tires on a paved road. But had I had to walk here for 10 years prior, all of a sudden, that horse and buggy is a deal. So for me to put my perspective of what comfortable is on God, I'm already out of the chute, like, I've already set myself up for frustration, aggravation, irritation, and just a whiny party. Just whining. And so I had to get this in me. Okay, I'm to be comforted. And you promised I would have. But how do I receive your comfort? Where is it at? And it's in that verse. He says where comfort's going to be found. I found four things in that verse that I want to share with you today that we'll be comforted in if I can. What am I doing wrong, guys? Oh, his compassion. That is knowing his character. In my crisis, there's actually comfort there if I look for it. In his community that I'm in. And in the confidence in him. Those in that passage right there, we'll see those four things. If we'll look for it, we will find it. And there's one thing I have to remind myself. There's a passage that says, so be it according to your faith, right? Let me put that in practical terms. You will find what you're looking for. If you're looking for it, you'll see it. if all I'm looking for is trouble, aggravation, irritation, and a reason why that I should be where I'm at, guess what I'll see? That's all I'll see. But if I'm looking, God, you promised something. You said something. I've been told something. Guess what? It's going to reveal itself to me. His promises, his words. All of a sudden, my eyes of faith will be open to, oh, that's where God's word's coming from. I would have never saw it there before. But now that my eyes are open, that I've alerted my system to, God is moving in this situation right now. I just got to find it. Guess what I will see? I will see it. You know, science proves that. That's good theology. That's good psychology. That's good neurology. I heard a guy the other day said, you know, that I couldn't believe it. He said there is 20,000 bits of information that hits us every second, but cognitively we're only set up to be able to perceive 5. And if you're really, really on top of your game cognitively, 7. I think that's great. 5, number of grace. And if you're on top of your game, you're mature, you're really paying attention, 7, number of perfection. I mean, there's all kinds of things that just blows my mind. And I said, I don't know if I believe that. And then the guy said this, how does your big toe on your left foot feel right now? I'll be honest with you, I wasn't thinking about it until he said it. And I feel it. But that feeling was always there. But I didn't perceive it until it was brought to my attention. The Word of God and God's ways is the same way. There's answers to your prayers right now floating around in this room. Where is it at? Who's carrying it? What embrace am I going to get after church that God's going to speak through? What word is God going to put in Lee's mouth that I'm going to hear? Where is it at, Lord? Because I'm in high-speed pursuit of receiving and hearing what you've got to say to me today that's going to bring comfort in my afflictions. Isn't it amazing that this is the season right now that, you know, all of God's promises come to fruition? I was up in Hendersonville several years ago, and there was a theologian talking about, and for those who've heard me say this, indulge me because I know I say this every Christmas season, but it's so impactful to me. That he was bringing out the 5 most important words in Scripture. And I sort of back away when people say that because, you know, sometimes it's like bolstering up their pet theology or whatever, you know, so I don't get into a lot of that. But he was just saying that from a theological standpoint, from a systematic theology, these 5 words, without them, the whole thing falls apart. And I was like, okay, then I want to hear what this is. What are those 5 words? It's a Christmas story, and it's how it opens. And it came to pass. God said it, and then he fulfilled it. God said, I'll send my son, and he will come into the earth and do what I need done, that Terry Wilson needed done. And then all of a sudden, breaking through time, and it came to pass. All of Scripture falls apart. That's the nature of God. Charlie, right now, there's things God's promised you and I, and it's going to come to pass. I'm just waiting on the declaration, and it came to pass that on this date, in this time, Terry was able to do this, that which was promised. What's God promised you? What are you waiting on for God to promise? Because it's coming. It is coming. It is coming. Pastor Charlie asked something the other night, says, well, what do you guys perceive in the coming years? And Pastor Terry spoke up and says, I believe in him there's more in 2024. And I believe that. There's more. I don't know what the news is saying. I don't know what the politicians are saying. I don't know what the pundits are saying, the pontificates are saying. But I believe God's goodness is ahead of us. I believe there's more in 2024. Yes, there's problems, there's challenges, there's things that we're all going through. But there's more for you in the coming year. I don't walk into this coming year like, oh, gosh. You know what I'm saying? And that's been my posture probably for the last year and a half. And God's saying, what are you looking at, Terry? What are you looking at? What are you looking for? Because so be it according to your faith. Now, I'm not saying faith is not the denying of reality. Faith is seeing, because Jesus looked at the cross, despising the shame. He looked past it and saw joy. He didn't deny that there was a cross in front of him. He didn't deny his feelings of shame, that he's having to go through this. But he looked past that, and what did he see? He saw you. He saw me. And he said, that's my joy. And despising all that, he went marching right in. Real quick, let's get into it. So, compassion. If we look in that passage right there, my clicker, stop. His character, his blessing in brokenness, and also, one more if I can get down there, and bearing all burdens. If you'll read that passage out, you will see. There's an interesting phrase there that I saw it for the first time here, where it said, I don't know why, I guess because when you're looking for it, you see it, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You know, we call him Lord of Lords, King of Kings, El Shaddai. But right here, he's called what? The God of comfort. He can take me past what Krispy Kreme can do. He can do far exceedingly abundantly above anything that I could ever grab a hold of or perceive myself, according to that which I allow to work inside of me. That's who he is, and that's what he's promising. But if I don't look for it, I don't see it. Amen. He can show me his comfort in crisis, because right there it says this, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort in which we've been comforted too. I love that. So there's a personal presence. Up, oh, back up, Terry. I cannot use this clicker. I'm telling you what, I really need to learn technology. Y'all pray for me. I'm telling you right now. Let's see here. Let's see. That was compassion and character. What did y'all learn at church day? We learned that the web guy don't know technology. Yeah. He's personally with me. His touch is transformative. One of the things that anything I try to do in comforting myself typically is temporal. And it's my attempt to try to conform. It's my attempt to try to modify behavior rather than completely changing a belief. See, we can comfort ourselves with all different kinds of things, but the thing that God is offering us right here is if we'll lean into him during our hardest times and our darkest moments right there, when we're really going through something, he's saying that what he offers, the touch in which he offers, will actually change you. Not modify you, but change you. That's a promise. That's impactful to me. And then the other thing that we'll find his comfort in is his community. You know, they say one of the biggest psychological needs a person has is to be heard, that is to be understood, to know that someone gets them. I mean, that is a deep, you know what? You can't get that at home by yourself. Yeah, and I'm a podcaster, I'm a web guy, I love the fact that we're doing streaming, but I want to encourage anybody that's online today, if you've never come into the house of God, you're missing out 95% of what God can do inside. Because you cannot, it doesn't transmit what's going on in here. There is a personal touch of God that's going on inside because his people are inside. You can communicate with one another. You can share with one another. You can be validated. You can all of a sudden meet other people, see other people, and say, hey, I'm going through this. And they say, well, hey, I went through that 10 years ago, and let me tell you what God did for me. And all of a sudden, you know what that is? And let's just break it down in a secular term. That's a strategy. Oh, when the Logans went through this back when they were, you know, raising kids and having this and they faced this issues, this is what happened, and then this is what happened, and they did this and they saw God move. why do I need to make the same mistakes they made? Why not learn and then move forward? Pastor Terry's got a great saying, we stand on the shoulders of other people. That's the value of community. That's the value of being around one another. That's the value of watching each other live. That's the value of you guys seeing my clay feet and then seeing God use me in spite of it. Because you ought to walk away saying, well, if God can use Terry Wilson, I know I've got something in store. And the other thing is, it ends isolation. You know, we're in the middle of a mental health crisis in this country right now. We are in the middle of a mental health crisis, and one of the major contributors is, since, you know, I'm not blaming, I'm not talking politics, but we told everybody to shut down, go home, stay by yourself. And there's people that still haven't recovered from that. We are still feeling the effects of people living in an isolated life. And people that are already feeling lonely, people that are already feeling isolated, we just poured fuel on a fire that was already burning. The value of community, if you're out there today, if you're listening to this, if you're online, if you're listening to the podcast later, let me encourage you. If you're too far away to get here, get somewhere. But get around people. Get around God's people. Because God's people are going to be able to give you understanding. They're going to be able to validate you. They're going to be able to give you strategies. Maybe not through words, but just watching them live. But the most important thing is you're not isolated anymore. Isolation will kill you. Isolation is a cancer on your soul. Isolation is the biggest strategy the enemy uses to get you by yourself and say, you ain't nothing, old boy. Look at you. Look how you screwed up. Why would you think? And they just start pouring in all of this negativity, all of this hateful, this rot, just sinful rot that gets in the soul of people. And let me tell you what happens. When people feel like I'm worth nothing, I'm useless, I have no value, then why would they care about anybody else? All of a sudden, life has no value. Their life has no value. That means your life has no value. That means life in general has no value. That means they don't care how they act out. They don't care what's going on. Crime rate goes up. Drug use goes up. Everything goes up that shouldn't. Why? Because a person doesn't have internally that they're worth something, that they're made by, from, and for the purposes of greatness. Why? Because they got by themselves. And they did not have community coming around them and say, whoa, I just heard something come out of your mouth. You're better than that, Terry. You know, Pastor Terry kept me in check last week. He says, because I was sick last week, and he called me, and and I said, well, I've just been lazy all week doing nothing. And honestly, I was joking, but at the same time, I was feeling bad that I wasn't working. I was feeling shameful that I was not working, but I was just so under the weather, I could not think clearly. I could not, because I had this congested thing. And so I was just joking. I was like, well, I had an excuse to be lazy, so I've just been lazy all week. And he says, oh, you weren't being lazy. You were recovering. And just him saying that, pushing back against that little bit of attitude, is like, yeah, I need to cut myself a break there. You know, but that's what isolation will do. That's being by yourself and not allowing someone to hear the words coming out of your mouth so they can challenge it. That's what isolation will do if you're not careful. The other value of community, it gives you support. It gives you a perspective. It gives you encouragement. And it allows you to set goals and have people hold you accountable to those goals. If I go to Charlie and say, Charlie, I want to be able to do this. I want to do this. I feel like God's called me to this. And then Charlie sees me acting a way that knows that I'm not going to get to my goals based on the behavior that I'm at. Guess what he's going to do? Hey, Wilson, you said you wanted to do this. That song is in C, and you're over here in B flat. What's going on? That's what community will do for us. But if we're by ourselves, we're isolated, we don't get that. It will give us support, perspective, encouragement, and allow us to set goals. Finally, it allows us to be understood, and it allows us to release what's on the inside of us. Sometimes the best therapy, sometimes the best comfort, sometimes the best thing that I can do for myself is just telling you, hey, pray for me. It ain't all good right now. And getting real with it. That's the value of community. That's where you'll find comfort. That's where you'll find growth. And then finally, because I'm in a community, because I have people around me speaking into my life, because I have people that care for me and want to see me do better, I have confidence in Him. And they remind me, hey, remember last year when you were working through this, Terry, and God pulled you through that? All of a sudden, I see triumph in my trials. I see, remember, Terry, you were complaining 10, 20 years ago because of this, this, and this. And you went through this, and it was a tragedy. But look at you now. And the only reason you can do this now is because that happened then. But without that, you couldn't do this. What does that mean? There's purpose for my pain. There's nothing that touches our life that goes through the sovereign hands of God that He can't turn it around and turn it into an asset for you. And it will be not something that buried you, but actually something that built up a mound that you're standing on. So the very dirt that you see the enemy doing this is doing nothing but building a platform for you to stand on if you will allow the process. Whew. The process. That we can practice our faith. And for you sports fans, yes, we're talking about practice. Are we talking about practice? Yes, we are talking about practice. Not the game you love, but practice. But we got to allow that. There's purpose for your pain, and there's consoling in the counsel, which means that one of the purposes for your pain, one of the ways God uses it, He says to comfort those with the same comfort you've been comforted with. All He's doing is putting another tool in your pocket so that when you meet so-and-so down the street, you say, I got something for that. When you see the pain that they're going through, when you see the discomfort they're going through, when you see the hardship that they're going through, and it reminds you of what you had to go through, now you are equipped. But without that process, guess what? We're just espousing theory. Well, it says in the Bible, but you know what? Jesus, we're going to be like Him, right? And one of His attributes is He was what? The living Word. Which means, what I'm going to tell you, these aren't just words, baby. I walk this. Let me tell you something. You know what I'm saying? It's a living word. It's not just philosophical thoughts and ideas. It is, let me tell you what God did for me and how He can do it for you. That's what God is doing in us. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you are feeling uncomfortable, to let the God of comfort comfort you. But know how it comes about. It comes with a relationship with Him, and it comes with His Word, and it comes with His people. And if we isolate from any of those, we are disconnecting from the very methodology and streams in which He flows out His comfort. Amen? Amen. Is there anyone in here that don't know this God of comfort? That you're in a season right now, and it's just like, I have no hope. Well, let me introduce you to hope. Is there anyone in here right now? I'm not going to belabor this. I'm not an evangelist. I'm a teacher. But I just feel like we're in a season right now of Christmas. We're celebrating our Savior, and I don't give anybody the opportunity that don't know Him. You can know Him and know Him right now. And as one pastor used to say, to get under that spout and where His mercy and glory comes out. Amen? So is there anyone in here that doesn't know Him? All hearts and minds are clear. Is there anyone in here that needs prayer? Because, Terry, I'm going through a season right now that, man, it's not comfortable. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? I see that hand. Do we have a prayer team? I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up right now. If you'll come up, and Charlie, if you'll play something in key of B flat in the 6/8 time. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. But Charlie's going to come up and play. And for anyone that would like to experience a special grace, because I believe these guys are carrying a special grace right now to give you comfort from the Comforter. You can come up right now, and they will pray with you, and they will speak words of life and comfort in you, because life is too short to go around and not experience His comfort. Amen? Amen? Elders, can we get the elders to come up and help pray with people? Did everyone get something from Him this morning? Did you get something from Him?
Yes.
If you didn't, don't leave. It'll be on you if you walk out and don't get something from the Lord this morning, because He's here for you. Amen? He's got a buffet of goodness. Rita wanted me to announce that the 17th is the deadline on these, right? Yeah, 17th. And so make sure you have your gifts in by then so that it can be staged and distributed and everything. And we thank all of you for that. Is there anything else? Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Man, good job. Good job. I want to say thank you to the staff and those that came in and volunteered their time to help decorate. And they were done in hardly no time. As a matter of fact, I didn't put on the first bow or the first anything. I got here and there was some car trouble in the driveway, and I spent an hour working on their car to get it going. And I came in and they were done. So it's like, said, and I know on their mind they said, "Yeah, we know you was out there waiting until we got finished before you came in." But no, they weren't thinking that, but they did. I told them, I said, "I've been here about an hour working on that car," and they said, "We know, we saw you. You just needed to do what you're supposed to do." But I do want to say thank you to all of you that came. Let's give them a hand for serving. Y'all made it possible. And before we close, I do want to mention that Mike Swanson's mother was, and they live in, she lives in Kansas. They moved her to hospice, so with all natural things, she might not be with us very long, but we need to pray for her. We need to pray for Mike and Kim, for their family as well. So let's just pause for a moment and do that. Lord, we thank you for Mike and Kim Swanson. Thank you for his mother. And Lord, we just lift them up at this moment. Lord, she needs a touch from you. But we ask you, Lord, to bring glory to you and benefit to their lives. May they sense the comforter that was talked about today. And beyond this situation, and then even in the middle of this situation, you are the God of all comfort. So we ask you to comfort Mike and Kim as well and the whole family. And Lord, may that family sees who you truly are in the midst of walking, in the midst of this pain. And Lord, we love you and we worship you. And we thank you for being our healer, our deliverer, and our comforter. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. How's everybody doing? Y'all ready for part two? Okay. Brother John, come up and pray as we dismiss. I got to beat the crowd back to the back, so if you don't mind, just close us out.
All right. I'll let you get a head start. Oh, Father, we thank you so much today, Lord God, for Pastor Terry Wilson, Lord, and the word that he shared with us. God, we thank you for that word, Lord. And God, we pray that word, you will seal that word within us, Lord, and let it bring forth the fruit that you design. And God, as we depart from this place, but never your presence, watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.